Look, Mummy, there's an airplane up in the sky. And also Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm the pilot at the controls, Amelia Dalton, and in this week's episode of Fish Fry, we're headed into the world of common standards, common form factors, SOSA, MORA, and even more acronyms. So without further ado, let's make sure your seatbelts are snug and tight, and let's bring in Roger Hosking from Pentek to talk about the newest in embedded software radio. Let's go. My guest today is Roger Hosking from Pentek. Thank you so much for joining me, Roger.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Okay, so first off, give my audience a brief rundown on what Pentek is all about.
For 31 years, we've been developing open architecture board level products primarily for software radio. And what that means is products that will be used in radar communication signals, digitizing signals, generating signals, and then also doing real-time processing of those signals. First, we used Texas Instruments DSP chips, then power PCs, and for the last 20 years or so, we've been using FPGAs to do all of the signal processing.
Excellent. So let's talk about embedded software radio. Now, you are presenting a talk at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year called New Initiatives and Technologies Brighten Embedded Software Radio. Okay, so first, let's talk about those initiatives. What are you seeing there?
Okay, the initiatives are now taken by multiple armed forces like the Air Force, the Navy, and the Army, who have come together and said we need a better way of defining what kinds of products we need to suit the needs of our military, and to do so in a way that we can use one particular product across multiple platforms for multiple missions across multiple different services in the military. So one of the initiatives is called SOSA, or SOSA, which is the Sensor Open System Architecture. And sensors, in this case, could mean sensors like transducers, but it could also mean antennas and things for radio and radar, radar antennas, communications antennas, and so forth. And there are other initiatives, one of which is called MORA, M-O-R-A, which stands for Modular Open RF Architecture. MORA. And that again is focusing more closely onto the RF side of things, which is where our software radio products really play. And MORA has defined certain requirements for interoperability, for the way signals are treated and moved from one module to another module, using common protocols, common standards, common hardware, common form factor, to meet the needs, the high-level needs of these initiatives that are coming from our government agencies.
Okay, so let's talk about the other half of that, those technologies. What particular technologies do you see brightening in embedded software radio?
Everything is now switching from parallel bus backplanes over to gigabit serial backplanes. And that is the major transition from, for example, VME bus to VPX. And so these new initiatives can take advantage of these newer gigabit serial links to do the jobs that they need to do. And the job primarily is to do very high-speed data transfer to carry digitized radio frequency signals from one module to another, or from one chassis to another. So one of the things that's happened is that technology has been exploited, and it's also moving to optical interfaces, so that instead of using copper, which has limitations in terms of speed, we can now use optical cables to join the different parts of the system together and to join the boards together within a system. We're also finding protocols for those signals that go from, let's say, a front end of a radar system down to a processing section of the radar system, which defines the signals that are being carried along these high-speed links so that when the receiving processing system gets the signals, it's told exactly where, how, when those signals were acquired, their frequency, their bandwidth, the orientation of the antenna. And that's defined by another standard which has been adopted by MORA, which is called the VITA 42 standard, which we talked about here at the show 2 years ago.
Right.
So what you're seeing is a lot of these standards, these open architecture standards, both hardware and software, are now being used and called out by these initiatives like MORA say, we want to take advantage of these new technologies and kind of develop a brighter way, a smarter way of putting these systems together. And that's what it's really all about.
Okay, so Roger, where do you see embedded software radio headed from here?
I think there's always going to be a requirement for more channels, for higher frequency signals.
Sure.
And those are going to go together into the future, ever increasing, because nobody can outgrow your need for bandwidth and information to do a better job of, let's say, detecting a radar target or to communicate to a troop, let's say, on the ground from a greater distance than before, to do so with higher levels of security to deny the enemy the ability to intercept or to use countermeasures against your system. And, of course, electronic warfare always is an increasing game from one side to the other. So all of these factors about the real world that we live in are going to be driving these kinds of architectures into higher levels of performance, for which we really can't see an end. It's just going to keep going. That's really a good way of saying, how good a signal processing job do you need to do? Well, the answer is there is no final answer.
Right.
Okay, Roger, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you enjoy rollerblading. I think you're my first rollerblader on my show. Where do you like to go? Do you rollerblade around your house? Is there a particular area that you go?
Rollerblading around your house is not a good idea. Rollerblading in the street is not a good idea.
So I,
that's the first thing I'll say as a disclaimer. There's a great park that I live near that has a 3-mile track.
Okay,
it's around a lake, and so it's just a fabulous place to go. And after once or twice around that track, you are pretty well worked out.
Sure.
And it's a lot easier on your knees and your joints than running. So I switched over about 10 years ago from running to rollerblading, and I really like it. Only fallen about twice, and didn't break anything either case. So
nice.
I'm proud of myself.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Roger.
All right. My pleasure to be here, Amelia.
How trusted is your supply? Yeah, not an easy answer, right? In the second part of this week's interview doubleheader, Richard Janicki from Mercury Systems joins me to talk about just this. We're delving into the convergence of safety, security, a trusted supply, and you. So, up, up, and away. My guest today is Richard Janicki from Mercury Systems. Thank you so much for joining me, Richard.
Very glad to be here.
So, Richard, for my audience who may not know, what is Mercury Systems all about?
Well, Mercury is a leading supplier of sensor and safety-critical processing systems, and it really spans all the way from RF processing through sensor processing, mission processing, and even storage and data exploitation.
So you guys presented a talk at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year called Trusted Computing, the Convergence of Trusted Supply, Safety, and Security. So let's break those down. First, what do you mean by trusted supply?
So trusted supply is making sure that the product that you thought you were building really is the product that you ended up with. So that design was not changed inadvertently or by a malicious actor. That there are no back doors inserted, that the components that you bought are not counterfeit, that they are of high quality and come from a trusted supply chain, and that you can validate that all of this came through your entire supply chain and all of your manufacturing processes and test processes delivered to the customer to be exactly what it's supposed to be and nothing more and nothing less.
Okay, so those other two parts, safety and security, very important issues in designs today, but how do they both fit into this picture?
Well, in order to have a system that's deployed in the field that you know is going to work, you need to know that it's going to operate safely and that it stands protected from somebody trying to change it or disable it.
Sure.
Or take control of it after the fact. So that's what the two parts are. It's really about reliable operation and then protecting that system once it's fielded.
Okay, so you also gave a session called 2018, the year certifiable multi-core takes off. So tell my audience some more about this.
So multi-core CPUs have been around in the desktop for a while now.
Sure.
In embedded systems, they are becoming pretty standard as well. But when you're trying to figure out the highest level of reliability and availability, making sure that you have very high quality service on something that's very critical, like the flight control of an airplane, you don't want something non-critical taking priority and slowing down the processing of the critical flight control processing. So in the past, you've had to do that with very specialized segment processors, because the problem with multi-core processors is the actions in one core can steal resources from another core. We're just now getting to the point where all the solutions people have been proposing and implementing are starting to actually take hold in the market and look like they might make it through certification by the FAA and other certifying authorities. So this is the year where it looks like it's going to be real. Not that the certifications are going to be done this year, because they take multiple years, but it looks like the designs that we did last year or the year before, you know, that had some problems and we fixed them, it looks like this round of certifications are going to actually make it through. And when I say we, I mean the industry in general that's trying to do this. But Mercury, as a leader in safety certifications with our in-house safety experts, you really have insight into where this is going.
So it's going to start this year, and in the future, you see adoption of multi-cores really taking hold then in this space.
Yeah, it's sort of baby steps. The first multi-core implementations will really lock things down and not let them interact too much, just to be extra safe. As we get better at it, we'll be able to unlock and make more use of some of the extra features. It also depends on the type of processors. I mean, PowerPC in multi-core form is still a little bit easier to get a handle on than the multi-core Intel CPUs, for example, but that's all coming in the future.
All right, Rich, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. I know you enjoy cooking and wine, so a double-part question here. What's your go-to meal? You got to impress somebody. What are you going to make, and what are you going to serve with it?
Wow, I wasn't ready for that one, but one of my favorites, especially since it's winter, is veal stew, sort of an ossobuco type of thing with lots of veal. I also throw in a pile of mushrooms, some porcinis, some crimini, and cook it for a nice long time, and then pull out a nice bottle of Italian Barolo. You know, one of the big guns, but, you know, it goes so well with Italian stew. That would be my go-to.
Awesome, and now I'm hungry. Okay, well, I appreciate you spending time with me, Richard. Thank you.
It's been great talking to you, Amelia. Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player, you can check out our Fish Fryin' archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 4th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.